Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started a little over 2 weeks ago. I'm talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. And this week I'm talking about grace, a done deal. And I tell you, this has just transformed my life. I pray that you are getting the revelation of this. Sometimes I feel frustrated trying to share this with people. But I tell you, this has transformed my life. And, you know, there's a lot of things in the Word of God that I can argue a person into seeing it. For instance, I could sit there and take scriptures and I could make you see that it is God's will for you to be well. Now, you may not agree with me and you might reject it and go ahead and believe whatever, but I could prove to you from the Word of God that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. I can show you that it's God's will for you to prosper financially. And I can take scriptures and show you people who prospered and it was a blessing of God and not a curse. And I can argue people. I can kind of paint them into a corner to where they intellectually see it. But you know, when it comes to grace, I don't understand this exactly, but I can't argue a person into that. It has to come by revelation. I can sit there. I have preached my heart out before on this subject, felt like I did just a great job and have people come up and violate everything I taught. And they'll just say things completely opposite. And so anyway, I've quit trying to force people into seeing this. It has to come by revelation. But I promise you, once you get a revelation of grace and the relationship between grace and faith, it just radically changes the way you relate to God. So what I began to start doing yesterday was to talk about grace is a done deal. And I used the first 17 verses of John chapter 1 to show that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's how it came into the earth. And everything that God does, He does by grace. Another way of saying that is everything that God does, He's already done through Jesus 2,000 years ago. If you need your sins forgiven, they were already forgiven. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. It's already been done. All of them, even the ones you haven't committed yet. I spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about that. If you need healing in your body, by His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. It's already been done. You don't need God to heal you. You need to believe that it's already been done. He's already released this power. If you need to be prospered, He became poor. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians 8:9. That though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor so that you through His poverty might be made rich. It's already been done through Jesus. Whatever you need has already been accomplished by grace. It's a done deal. It's over. And so you don't need to petition God and then wait and wonder, is He going to answer my prayer? If you understand this correctly, it's already been done. How could you doubt that He would do something if He's already done it? You know, I've already used that example. I'm not going to go back through that whole thing, but just let me refresh your mind. But I used the example about when I was believing for a Bible and I didn't have enough money to go buy one, and the devil just beat my brains out for months that you're never going to get it. When I finally got it and had my name engraved on it, then immediately my doubts ceased once I had it. And when I say that, people think, well, of course they did. If you've already got it, why would you doubt that you'd get it? And that is my point. You know why people pray and ask God to heal them and say, oh, God, I'm trusting You. I claim my healing. And then their next thought is about, I wonder what my funeral is going to be like. You know, I wonder why this isn't working. And they begin to doubt. You know why? Because they don't believe it's already done. Once you get this mindset that grace is a done deal, it's already done, it's over with, God's part is done, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. Once you get that firmly established in you, it just moves you into a different realm. How can you doubt that you'll get it if you've already got it? It's in the spiritual realm. I used that verse yesterday out of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has already blessed you with everything, but it's not in the physical realm. Your body may not be manifesting healing yet. Your emotions may not be manifesting joy and peace. Your finances may not be manifesting prosperity and abundance. But the truth is, God has already spoken those things over you. There is spiritual reality of blessing, of healing, prosperity, all of these things in your spirit, but you've got to draw it out. That's what faith does. But see, faith has to have as its object the grace of God. You've got to understand that God has already done it and not try and get God to do it through your faith. If you understand that you're already blessed, then let me ask you, why would you be asking God to bless you? That's a good question. You know, I go into churches and I try and be polite. I don't usually say something about this. I have a few times, but as a whole, I go into these churches and they will pray these prayers about, "Oh Lord, we ask you to come and be with us today. Just come and be among us." Most of you have probably heard that prayer or have prayed it yourself. And yet the Bible says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13. If God said He would never leave you nor forsake you, then let me ask you, why are you asking Him to come and be with you? It's because you can't see it or you can't feel it. You just assume that it's not real unless you can perceive it somehow or another through your five senses. But the truth is, He is with you in the spiritual realm. It says here in Ephesians 1:3 that all of these blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that it's reserved for you in heaven. It is real and it is present tense. It's now, but it's just in your spirit that you have this presence of God. And it's not always tangible. You can't feel it. But you can believe it regardless of whether you feel it. So we shouldn't be asking God to come and be with us because He's already there. And then at the end of the service, we pray and say, "Oh God, just go with us as we leave this place." Again, He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Why would you ask God to go with you if He said He'd never leave you? It's because you don't believe. It's a prayer of unbelief. And it opens yourself up to all kinds of problems. When I go into churches, I often have the pastors take me into a back room someplace and they pray and start asking God to anoint me. And again, I understand what they mean, but I always think to myself, why would you have asked me to come minister in your church if you don't think I'm already anointed? If God, you know, hasn't anointed me and you got to come and ask Him to anoint me. It's more like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, I believe it's verse 18, where He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Jesus didn't pray and ask God to anoint Him. He went in that. Paul said that, "I know when I come unto you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of God." He didn't pray and ask God to come. He didn't have this concept that God came and went off of him. But he was anointed. He was already blessed by God. See, that's grace. He believed that God had already done all of this. When God calls a person to do something, God would be unjust to call you to do something and not give you the equipping to be able to do it. That would be unjust on His part. For instance, I was a total introvert. Couldn't even look at a person in the face and talk to them. And God called me to stand in front of millions of people and preach the gospel. Did you know that would be unfair? That would be unjust for God to expect me to do something that is against my nature on my own. But the moment He called me, He also equipped me. He also anointed me. Anytime, if God calls you to do something, when He told Peter, He says, "Come," that one word, "come," had in it enough power for Peter to get out of that boat and walk on top of the water. At what one word, "come," had an anointing and had power on it. Anytime you respond to the Word of God, there is an anointing present to do it. It's already done. And so God has already placed all of His power. That's His grace. He's put all of these things on the inside of you. And you do not need to start seeking God, trying to get God to bless you and trying to get God's anointing on your life and trying to get healing and prosperity and joy and peace. Those things are already on the inside of you. That's grace. And faith is simply going by what you can't see. Instead of going by what you feel and what your body tells you, what the banker tells you, what the doctor tells you, faith is going by what God's Word tells you you have in Christ. And faith isn't you doing something and then God responds to you. No, it's your faith is your response to what you believe that the Word of God says that you already have. You know, if you're still in Ephesians chapter 1, I read Ephesians 1, 3, and if I had time, you could just go down through every verse and it just says this same thing over and over. It says, He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We have already been made accepted in the Beloved. And on and on and on it just goes. He begins to pray a prayer. He says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's Paul praying a prayer for these Ephesians. And before I get into this, let me just ask you, if you were to pray for me, or if you were to pray for somebody else, or let's say that you were writing a prayer that was going to be prayed 2,000 years in the future, if the Lord tarried, and you were praying for a group of people 2,000 years in the future, how would you pray for them? What would you do? You know, there might be differences in the exact words, but the overall thrust of it, and again, I base this on the way I've prayed in the past, on the way I've heard millions of people pray. Maybe millions is an exaggeration, but thousands of people I've heard pray this way, and they'll say something like, Oh God, we ask you to pour out your power. Oh God, you touch them. Oh God, send a revival. God, you do a new thing. God, move in their behalf. And it would be all pleading with God to give them something that they don't have. That's the way that most of us pray. Look at what Paul prayed. In verse 18, he prayed that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, to summarize, I could say this, that instead of Paul saying, Oh God, you do something, it was like, Lord, give them revelation of what they've already got. Show them, help them to enlighten their eyes that they may see the hope of their calling and the riches of the glory that is in them, not out there someday going to be revealed to us. Again, most Christians are singing, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be. And I'm not trying to minimize that. Heaven's going to be a blast. It'll be awesome. I'm not against heaven, but heaven is not when Christianity and real victory and joy and peace starts. We now have those things in us. I think it's Romans chapter 8, verse 17 or 18 says that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, not to us, but it's already in us. When you got born again, according to these verses, you already have the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in us. And again, most people don't benefit from this because they are carnal. They are physical oriented. They only go by what they see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And there's times that you don't feel right. There's times that you're hungry. There's times that you're poor. There's times that everything in the natural looks bad, and most people let those things dominate them. But the truth is that in your born-again spirit, you are identical to Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. There's many scriptures that talk about that. That's my teaching on spirit, soul, and body. It'll explain that to you. But you've already got all of this on the inside of you. And when you get to heaven, this glory is going to be revealed in us, not to us. And I think that this is one reason that the Lord is going to have to wipe tears away from our eyes. Not because we all limp into heaven and we were all beaten down and just barely made it and we're just crying and stuff. No, I think it's when we get this revelation And we see that we had the power of God on the inside of us the whole time, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And we suffered with pains and sickness and poverty and depression and discouragement. And we allowed these things to happen. We allowed people around us to die. We suffered when we didn't have to. I think that believers in heaven are going to be weeping and crying, and there's going to be gnashing of teeth, and God is going to have to literally wipe tears away from our eyes when we realize how we live so far below our privileges. But this is what Paul is praying, is God, open up their eyes, help them to see what they already have. And notice he said this in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe?" If you look at these words in the Greek, did you know that the word greatness here is just, it's talking about, it's over the top. It's a superlative. It really doesn't need an adjective to describe it. But by him coupling together with this, the exceeding greatness, it's just like, it's like saying super, super abundance. In other words, it's just, there is no limit. God's power that He's put on the inside of us, the things that He's done for us, are infinite. They are infinitely greater than whatever the problem is. This is saying that He wants us to see the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The word "according to" means to the proportion of, or to the degree of. In other words, what kind of power, what kind of exceeding greatness of power do we have? It's the same power proportional to the power that He used when He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places. You know, raising Jesus from the dead is the greatest demonstration of the power of God that the world has ever seen. Other people may not evaluate it that way. They might look at crossing the Red Sea, or Elijah calling down fire out of heaven, or the creation of the heavens and the earth, or some of these things as being a greater demonstration of the power and the glory of God. But really, the greatest demonstration of God's power is when He raised Jesus from the dead. And I could say that based on a lot of things, but on nothing else than just the opposition. You know, when He created the heavens and the earth, there was no opposition. He didn't have any demonic powers operating against Him. And so, in that sense, it was relatively easy because it was unopposed. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, Satan and every demonic power in the universe was right there trying to stop Jesus from coming back from the dead. So all of the power of evil was against Jesus being raised from the dead, and yet He came out of that tomb and triumphed over Him. So I believe that that is the greatest demonstration of the power of God that the world has ever seen. You know, the church that I go to, they have an Easter presentation, and it's really elaborate. They build huge sets, and they have hundreds of people in it, and animals, and all this kind of stuff. And they had, at this Easter presentation, they had a person dressed in black that personified the devil. And every time the crowd would yell something about, you know, at Jesus' criticism, there would always be this person who personified the devil. He's the one that led Jesus up under the Mount of Temptation and tempted Him three times. And so, anyway, that's fine because it visually represents that there was an evil behind all of these people that were saying and doing these things. And when it came to the resurrection, they dramatized this by showing the stone being rolled over the tomb. And then this person who personified the devil was standing there in this black thing, and he was putting all of his force against this tomb trying to stop Jesus from being raised from the dead. And then they had this huge explosion and smoke. You couldn't see anything. And when the smoke cleared, here was this guy who personified the devil laying on his back. The stone was on top of him, and Jesus was standing on top of the stone. I just loved it. I thought that was great. And it really does picture it in a visual way. It gives you this thing that Satan and all of his forces were opposing the resurrection of Jesus. And yet God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the greatest demonstration of His power that the world has ever seen. And it says this is the same power that we have in us. Man, I don't know if you get that or not. But I have people come to me so often and they're like, "Oh, I've got cancer. or I've got AIDS, or I've got something, and I know that this is real serious, but can Jesus heal me of this? Like, that is some big deal. I remember a guy coming to me one time who started listing all of the things that were wrong with him. He mentioned the stuff that was wrong with his neck and then his back, and he went down to his sciatic, and he had neuropathy, and he went from head to toe and named a dozen things. And he says, but all really the thing that bothers me the most is my neck. If I could just get my neck healed, I can deal with the rest. And I responded to him by saying, well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, if we were to ask God to heal your neck, your back, your sciatic nerve, your neuropathy, all of these things, I mean, the lights in heaven might dim. God may not have enough power to go around and do all that. And when I said that, that guy just looked at me and he said, boy, that was pretty dumb what I said, wasn't it? I said, it was real dumb. But see, sometimes people just think that, you know, it's really going to drain the power of God, and they just aren't sure that God's got the power to do this. You have the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's enough for your hangnail or for AIDS or for cancer or for anything. Nothing that we're dealing with even comes close to maxing out the power of God that's been placed on the inside of us. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. That's grace. It's already done. It's already there. And yet how many people approach God and say, oh God, would you just give me more power? Oh Lord, would you give me more faith? You know, that's another issue. I'm about out of time today, maybe tomorrow I could deal with that, but you've already got faith. It was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It was given unto you, it's salvation. You don't need more faith. You need to start understanding how faith works and use what you've already got. You've already got raising from the dead power, the same power that set Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That same power is on the inside of you. And yet many of us are just struggling to wonder if we could get over something. That's because we do not have a revelation of what we've already got. We don't have a revelation of grace. We think that it's something that could happen, but it has yet to be done. Once you start looking at everything as it's in the past tense, instead of trying to obtain victory, instead of heading towards victory, you need to start looking in the rearview mirror and seeing that you have already been birthed unto victory. It's already done. Greater is He that's in you than whatever it is that's facing you. It's already done. And if you could just believe that and begin to confess and act accordingly, not trying to get God to give you victory, but because you believe you've already got it. If you could make that switch in your thinking, it's the difference between victory and defeat. It's the difference between health and sickness, poverty and prosperity. I tell you, it's really simple. And like I said at the beginning of the program, I can't argue you into this. It just has to come as a revelation of God. But I pray that the Holy Spirit takes these things and helps you to receive this truth. It'll change your life. You know, I'd like to encourage you to please get all the materials that we're offering that go along with this. Our announcer is going to give that information to you. And please call or write today and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today. For 8 years, Richard Anthony Waller struggled with debilitating and life-threatening health issues.
I was regularly walking on crutches. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I was in a pretty bad way. And Charlie prayed his prayer, and I walked away, and I still felt the pain, but I knew and I believed that I was healed.
Today, he's totally and completely healed.
I'm healed. That's it. I'm healed. Everything. I'm healed. Everything. Everything is healed.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. And take a healing journey with Richard Anthony Waller. Are you a world changer? Charis Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled Grace, a Done Deal, free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Spirit, Soul, and Body. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England next week for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.